Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity to sit at your feet. Father, we pray that your word will come mightily unto us. We believe your word is true. We believe your word is able to transform. And we believe your spirit is at work even today as we are convicted and called onto the path of holiness. Father, be glorified this very moment, even as we give heart and ears even to your word. We pray that, O God, let the word come forth mightily. Let the word come forth mightily. Be exalted, O Father, in every word and in every sentence. That, Father, by the end, we will be drawn closer to you. And that we will live a life that glorifies your name. In Jesus' mighty name have we prayed. Amen. Amen. Turn to someone, if the person is looking sleepy, tell the person, wake up. Tell someone sitting beside you, if the person is looking sleepy, tell the person, wake up. You know, I know the weather is cold, but it's very important. One thing I'm going to teach you is exercise. When you wake up in the morning, do a bit of exercise. Stretching up, doing on-the-spot running, it's good for your heart, it's good for your body. It's good to set your mind in the right place even as you begin your day. Amen. And those of you who are looking at me like I don't exercise, you can ask my wife. Great. So today's theme is priests unto God. We started a series on the book of Leviticus. How many of us are reading the book of Leviticus alongside the series? If you are reading the book of Leviticus alongside the series, let me see your hand, please. Mayorena. So please, I encourage you, every time we begin a series, don't just let it be from the pulpit, but take the opportunity to read along with the preachers that preach the various Sundays. We've started the series on Leviticus, and today we are ending on the theme, priests unto God. And our key scripture is from Leviticus chapter 6, verse 12. The fire on the altar shall be kept burning on it. It shall not go out. The priest shall burn wood on it every morning, and he shall arrange the burnt offering on it, and shall burn on it the fat of the peace offerings. This is the word of the Lord. Before we continue, even with reference to the theme for today, we want to do a very quick review. So with the first aspect of this three-part series, we started with Leviticus chapter 19, verse 2, on the theme, a holy God, a holy people. And the key understanding of this theme was that we are called to live a holy life. We are called to walk in holiness. And we understood from the book of Leviticus that the reason why God has called us to walk in holiness for His glory is because we are His people. He owns us. And we established from the book of Corinthians that we have been ransomed by the blood of Jesus. And because of this ransom, we cannot live anyhow, but to live for the Lord's glory. So Leviticus chapter 19 verse 2 says, speak to all the congregation of the people of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, I am holy. The idea of holiness spans beyond just your personal decision to a place of discipleship, to a place of running after your Maker, who is in Himself holy. And we then went on to touch on the Day of Atonement. Remember, even in the introduction, we touched on many sacrifices in the book of Leviticus. And right in the middle of the book of Leviticus, we have the Day of Atonement. And the Day of Atonement was a sacrificial day of celebration where the sins of the people will be slain on a goat. And it's very important for us because we understood that in today's time and covenant, we do not need sheep offerings, we do not need goat offerings, but we have a perpetual offering in Jesus Christ. So Leviticus chapter 23 verse 27 said, now on the 10th day of the 7th month, is the day of atonement. It shall be for you a time of holy convocation, and you shall afflict yourselves and present a food offering to the Lord. So in essence, we understood that the offerings that the Lord is calling us to present now is first our body. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, brethren, to present yourselves as a living sacrifice. Now we are not called to present sheep, goats, and bulls, but we are called to present our very lives. Another offering we are called to present is the offering of our lips. Be careful with your choice of words. Do you not know that for every word you utter, you shall account for it? We shall stand in judgment for every word we have spoken to our loved ones, to our friends. And we are encouraged to sacrifice lips, words of gratitude unto the Lord. Be encouraged to worship. Be encouraged to give thanks. Do not murmur. We also understood the place of rest, where God has called us to rest in Him. Indeed, it's important to live your whole life rested in our Lord Jesus, but it's also important to live your whole life ensuring that you do not overwork your body. Make time for rest. Make time to refresh yourself. You may be young, you may be old. It's not affecting my body. But guess what? It's not about whether it affects your body or not. It's about the idea that God calls you to take care of your temple. We further understood that one of the sacrifices is the sacrifice of love, where as husbands we are called to sacrifice our lives for our wives. How many of you husbands were reminded of this when you got home? I was. So we thank God so much. And today in that light, we are going straight into the idea of being priests. When we look clearly through the book of Leviticus, we see that priests are playing an instrumental role. Priests play an instrumental role in the book of Leviticus. So I highlighted a paragraph to guide the foundation of this understanding that priests are instrumental. The institution of priesthood is found in the book of Exodus, that is Exodus chapter 28, verse 1, where after the Israelites' deliverance from Egypt, God commanded Moses to consecrate Aaron and his sons as priests. With Aaron as the high priest and the support from the tribe of Levites, they were to mediate between God and the people, to teach the law, and also to serve in the tabernacle and later the temple. So we see that God instituted the idea of priesthood to serve as a mediation between the people and Him. God is actively pursuing people. God is actively pursuing people. And that is the purpose of priesthood, as seen in the book of Leviticus. The second point I highlighted was with reference to the selection of these priests. How were these priests selected? So I wrote, the priests are to adhere to a strict purity law, and men with physical defects were not to serve as priests. So literally, being called as a priest is being called to a life of purity. It's being called to a life where you are not allowed to do things that may be seen as normal for other people. Being called a priest was a life of total consecration to the Lord. And as part of the selection, if you had a physical defect on your body, you were not allowed to serve. This was not to segregate the idea that some people were more human than others, but just to reiterate the importance of holiness before the Lord. Further on, they were to marry virgins from among their own people and were prohibited from certain mourning practices. Being a priest was not just about the idea of service, but was about their whole life. Even who they would choose as married partners was informed. How they would live beyond Sunday services was informed. Amen. The third point highlighted was this. The fire on the altar shall be kept burning on it. It shall not go out. The priest shall burn wood on it every morning, and he shall arrange the burnt offering on it, and shall burn on it the fat of the peace offerings. So I grew up, I was born into a Methodist church. I was born as a Methodist. I stayed in the Methodist church for 15 years. Then I went straight into the Catholic church for schooling. Sorry, I stayed in the Methodist church for 10 years. I went straight into the Catholic church for schooling. I did 10 years of my schooling in the Catholic church. Then I had my first pastoral training in an interdenominational church. And I had my first stint of service in a non-denominational church. So it's very important that when I look back, I see how the Lord has molded me even for this time of my life. And during my time in the Catholic church, there was a time when I wanted to be a Catholic priest. And mind you, it was not for the good reasons. I wanted to be a Catholic priest. And in that light, I started catechism. So catechism is the study of the liturgical service and the understanding of how to lead in terms of priesthood. And one thing that always fascinated me was that in the Catholic Church, there is supposed to be a red light on the altar. On the altar. And on the altar, that red light was supposed to be always on. It's never supposed to go out. It's always supposed to be on. And the reason it's supposed to be on is supposed to be as a reminder that the presence of the Lord is always with us. So when I read from Leviticus chapter 6 verse 12, I understood that the priest's responsibility was always to remind the people that the presence of the Lord was always with us. And by so doing, they kept the fire on the altar always burning. The fire on the altar was always on to remind the people that the presence of the Lord is always with us. So now, what does priesthood mean to us today? We have seen priesthood unto God with reference to the Levitical order. What does priesthood mean unto us today? The first thing I want to highlight is from Hebrews chapter 7, 11 to 28. Hebrews chapter 7, 11 to 28. And the summary of that paragraph is this. The sacrificial system and centrality to the priestly duties foreshadows the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus Christ, who is described in the New Testament as the high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, surpassing the Levitical system. In the past, in Leviticus, they had priests who would die, and there would be a need to change the priest. But according to the order of Melchizedek, according to the order and priestly ordination of Jesus Christ, we have a priest who is forever alive. Can I get an amen? We have a priest who forever intercedes for you and I. We have a priest who stands as a current forever advocate. Many people do not understand the idea of advocacy. Maybe because I have an LLM and a PhD in international, it makes more meaning to me. Because the idea of advocacy speaks very prominently within the courtroom. So there I say that with God as our judge, with Jesus as our ever advocate, and with the devil as the accuser of the brethren, there is a court system in heaven. And we see that clearly in the book of Job, where the devil is seeking to always accuse you of your wrong, accuse you of your mistake, remind you that you are not worthy of the sacrifice of Christ. But every time he raises an accusation, there comes our Lord and Savior, standing boldly, attesting that my client is free from every sin. Not because of his works, but because I lay down my life for him. My client cannot be bamboozled by the enemy because I laid down my sinless life, my sinless blood for him. He is your high priest, forever making intercession for you and I. Furthermore, Hebrews chapter 4, 14 to 15, I highlighted this purely according to scripture. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confessions, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who is in every respect has been tempted as we are, and yet without sin. The reason why Jesus can sympathize with you is because he has been through the stages of temptation. What are the stages of temptation? First John says, of this world, there are mainly three things. The lust of the flesh, the sin of the eye, and the pride of life. Every temptation can be categorized within these three frames. The lust of the flesh, the sin of the eye, and the pride of life. Jesus went through every single point of these temptations, and yet he was victorious. That is why when you are going through any difficulty, when you call on the Lord Jesus, he understands because he has been through it. That is why I encourage you, do not feel that your problem is bigger than your God. Do not feel that your issues are bigger than your God. He is able. He is able. But then, in the light of being ransomed by the blood of Jesus, how does priesthood translate in our lives today? 1 Peter chapter 2, 9 to 10. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession. Have you seen your identity in Jesus Christ? This is who you are. And I read again, but you are a chosen race. You were chosen from the foundations of the earth. The Lord knew you even before you were born and had ordained that you would walk in Christ Jesus. You are a royal priesthood because he is king. You are called into the place of priesthood for his glory. And the beauty of this priesthood is not of a norm, but the beauty of this priesthood is that of royal heritage. Because you are called by a king, your service is in line with the kingdom orientation. Where your priesthood is not just according to your current disposition of being a Ghanaian, of being a South African, of being an American, but your royal priesthood is according to the ordinance of the kingdom of heaven, where you are an ambassador to where you were born. So you live based on the culture of heaven. You live fully understanding that you are sent as an ambassador. Then it goes on to say, you are a holy nation. Be ye holy, for your God is, amen, a people of its own possession. I'm so happy when I read this. And it brings to mind another song when I was a child. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Hey! Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. You know, the beauty of understanding the cross will set you in a place of knowing that nothing you could have done could have warranted salvation. So Ephesians puts it clearly. We are saved not by our works that we should boast, but by faith. We are saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
And by this blood, God owns you. In the book of Romans, Paul is so clear that we are all slaves. You are a slave, I am a slave. But the idea is, who is your master? Is the world your master, or is God your master? Do you live in full obedience to the world, or in full obedience to God? And knowing that you are fully owned by God, it says, why? That we may proclaim the excellence of Him who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Someone lift up your hand and say, Father, we thank you for your mercy. So in summary, what does it mean to be a priest? In summary, what does it mean to be a priest? We are priests. What does it mean to be a priest in summary? One, God is our priority. Turn to someone, shake the person by the shoulder, tell the person, God is our priority. God is your priority. God is your priority. Not your husband, not your wife. God is your priority. God is your priority, not your work, not your school. I'm doing counseling for a lot of couples, and every time they come and I'm encouraging them and counseling them, I tell them, the best way to be a loving husband, the best way to be a loving wife, is to be a good Christian. If you love God, how you treat your wife is different. If you love God, how you treat your husband is different. Make God your priority and let it be seen in your life how you treat people, how you work, how you study. The second point, we are priests. Holiness and consecration is our portion. We must be set apart from the world. We must be different from the world. When you stand along with people of this world, there must be a difference. How you speak, how you talk, how you dress, it must be different. How you work, there must be a difference. Holiness, consecration should be your banner. The third point, teach God's word. Teach God's word. Teach God's word. One of the old scholars says, preach the word of God always. And if necessary, use words. Preach the word of God always. And if necessary, use words. It means the first point of preaching is not your word, but the first point of preaching is your life. Let your life show forth Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 to 2. He says, you are our open letters of recommendation, read by all men. Some people will not have the opportunity to read the Bible, but they will have the opportunity to see how you live. Let how you live glorify our Father in heaven. Teach God's word. Teach it to your husband. Teach it to your wife, especially the husbands. God has called you to be the priest of your family. Teach your children. Teach your wife the word of God. I'm not talking about stupid ideologies of this world. I'm not talking about stupid principles of this world. Teach your wife the word of God. Teach your children the Bible. Teach your children. Call your wife and your family. Sit them down and read the Bible together. Service in the house of the Lord. We are encouraged to serve in the house of the Lord. We are encouraged to serve in the house of the Lord. On this note, I want to make an announcement. The ushers are still recruiting. Sister Telly, I'm right, right? The ushers are still recruiting. The sound team is recruiting. The music team is recruiting. Sunday school is recruiting. Serve. Don't just come to the house of the Lord and warm the pews. Amen. Turn to someone, tell the person, serve in the house of the Lord. The final point I want to highlight in the place of what priesthood means today is prayer and intercession. Pray. You are a priest. Pray. Pray for your family. Pray for your husband. During counseling, a lot of the husbands say, my wife is always nagging at me. My wife is always nagging at me. And one of the remedies I tell the wives, pray for your husband more than you talk to your husband. Pray for your husband more than you talk to your husband. If you pray for your husband, every single word you say carries a certain magnitude. Pray more than you talk. Pray more than you talk. Pray for your children. Intercede for your nation. When was the last time you prayed for your country? When was the last time you prayed for your pastor? When was the last time you prayed for XICF? As a priest, pray. As a priest, you are called to intercession. That is why we are going for the prayer walk. So one way to show your priesthood is to join the prayer walk. I'm joking. But please join in. It's going to be a wonderful time of prayer. Leviticus chapter 6 verse 12. The fire on the altar should be kept burning. Let the fire of prayer in your life continue to burn. Don't give up prayer. When the devil wants to destroy a life, his first point of attack is the pillar of abiding. Because if you are not abiding, you are walking away and you can be easily destroyed. How do we abide? In the place of prayer. How do we abide? In the place of God's word. It's not complex to be a Christian. But it has some level of difficulty. But it's not complex. Read your Bible. Pray every day. Read your Bible. If you want to grow. I have never seen a Christian who has read this Bible every day and has struggled in their walk. Remember, the Christian life is not complex, but it can be difficult because we are always fighting our flesh. Your flesh wants to sleep. Your flesh wants to gossip. Your flesh doesn't want to read, but walk in self-control. Walk in self-discipline. Pray. 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 On that note, we want to just do a quick discussion to see if indeed people have understood what was shared through these 3 weeks. So please find a group of four. Four in a group. Just find a group of four. Sit with four people in a group. Man, to stand in the gap that the nations and the walls will not be destroyed. But the Lord found none. You want to pray? Let's bow down our heads. We want to pray. And we want to say, Father, today I submit myself. Grant me grace unto intercession. Grant me grace to pray for my family. Ask the Lord for grace. Say, Father, grant me grace to pray for my husband. Grant me grace to pray for my wife. Grant me grace to intercede for the nations. Ask the Lord for grace. Tell the Lord, Father, grant me grace to overcome laziness. Grant me grace to overcome busyness. Sometimes we are just too busy. When was the last time you prayed for your children? When was the last time you prayed for your siblings? Today you are reminded that you are a priest. Ask the Lord for grace, that the Lord should grant you grace unto prayer, and that the Lord should stir in you a fire. May the Lord stir in you a fire, a desire for Him. Yes, you've been busy, but that is no excuse.